Okay, we are talking with Kevin Phillips, who is the author of a book called Bad Money, about reckless finance, failed politics, and the global crisis of American capitalism. And Kevin Phillips, welcome to KBOO.
My pleasure.
Well, since I only got a little time for this little brief interview, I noticed back near the end of the book, you quote somebody from The Economist saying about the dollar's decline is the biggest default in history. Could you go into that a little bit?
Well, I suppose that's possibly true if you think about all the money the United States owes overseas, both to whether it's central banks or individuals or what have you. Probably a total of, well, as much as several trillion. You've got 40% decline since 2002 in the dollar against the euro, and just within the last year or so, close to a 10% decline. So if you start putting the 40%, or even more conservatively, the 10% against the larger number of how much we owe, you start to get the sense of what an extraordinary default this is.
Well, how long do our creditors allow this to happen? Don't they at some point start calling in their loans or something? What did they, or you're just not buying any more treasury loans?
Well, you have to think in terms of who the creditors are. Now, a creditor of the United States who really had no relations with the United States has probably sold a lot of those dollars already. But on the other side of the ledger, a number of them are held by countries in the Persian Gulf, Saudi Arabia, and some of the oil states along the Gulf Coast that rely on the United States, certainly at the naval and Air Force level, for defense. And as a result, they probably regard some of the tolerance of what's going on as part of the price they pay for national security. If you look in Asia at the big manufacturing powers, the reason they're willing to tolerate it is the United States, for China, is just a huge customer. In the case of Japan, again, the United States plays this role of defender, both on the air power and the sea power levels. So their tolerance is eased a little bit by that. But it's a hell of a gamble in the sense that the United States is slipping in esteem as far as the rest of the world is concerned, and has been for 5 or 6 years. And when this tolerance runs out on the different levels is really a huge question.
Well, you know, yes, you wonder how long can this go on?
Well, it depends on the commitment the people that have loaned us the money have in terms of defense or being able to dump all their manufactured or other goods in the United States. Obviously, it's important to the Chinese, to the Saudis, and the other oil producers. You hear different conflicting reports. Some of the time, they're about ready to pull some degree of support from the dollar. Other times, they're signing on for the long haul. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think people in the financial community are at all sure they know what the answer is either.
Well, another question is, how do we ever repay all our debt? Is it even possible?
We don't.
What happens to it?
We monetize it. In other words, you create more money. It mm-hmm. takes a lesser percentage of your money to pay back the debt because when your money's worth less,
right.
You're basically giving the creditors a hard time.
Well, it's okay. One interesting thing, you know, in your book, you had an illustration, a back-of-the-envelope map of sort of a Eurasian superpower. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, what it was an attempt just to make people think in their minds and go online to check out the relationships between Central Asia is in the middle of the envelope, where the flap comes down sort of to the middle of the back of the envelope. And the four major powers, or certainly three are, and then one might not be, you've got Russia, China, India on each corner, and then Iran. And geographically, Central Asia is pretty much between them. But Central Asia is also developing huge relationships with all of these countries, having to do with everything from oil and gas supplies to pipelines to assistance by the Russians, for example, to Iran in developing nuclear power that may actually turn out in the end to be nuclear weapons. It's just hard to find relationships anywhere else in the world that are growing as quickly as all of these that most Americans just don't understand, involving this part of the world which is becoming increasingly dominant, Asia.
Well, I understand that Iran had recently applied to join the Shanghai Cooperation Association organization, and apparently they would not have even applied without a sort of advance approval. And I understand that this is one of the things that George Bush and Mr. Putin discussed over the weekend, and although it hasn't been reported very widely.
It's certainly possible, because the Russians have been the advocates of letting the Iranians in to the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is essentially, among other things, an energy alliance that's grown into something of a military alliance. The Chinese and the Russians last summer actually held joint military maneuvers in the area. Now, my guess is Putin can smile and tell Bush, don't worry about it, because everybody remembers that incredible time 6 years ago or whenever that Bush looked into Putin's eyes and said he knew he could trust him.
Well,
and
okay.
Putin has taken that man over into the cleaners in so many ways, he must think he's a pair of pants.
Well, you know, apparently sort of Putin gave Bush the bad news, and the implication is that because of this, in other words, Iran is backed by China and Russia, and then the U.S. may talk a lot but will not attack Iran.
I think that's right.
Uh-huh.
I think for the Iranians to be attacked by the United States, you'd have to have a desperation mood that isn't there yet taking over the White House, desperation in the sense of somehow trying to strike at Iran, because Iran is tying Iraq in knots, which is true, too, or also simply to take Americans' minds off things with a war. There's some people, very cynical, think that the administration has had its mind set to try to do that in Iran. I agree. I think that the Chinese and the Russian degree of support for Iran is enough to probably block it. But the closer we get to the election, the closer we are to the end of George W. Bush's term, 3 months after the election, and I wouldn't want to bet on what they do and what they don't do.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, we've been talking with Kevin Phillips, the author of Bad Money. He will be appearing Monday, April 28th at the Baghdad Theater at 7 p.m. I really wish we had more time to talk on all this. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Some good stuff in there.
Oh, good.
So I don't know. I'd run the whole thing myself.
Yeah.
And really try and get them back later in November. April, rather.
Yeah. If I didn't have the show planned with 10 things and pitching, I would run all of it. But as it is, we're trying to make this a big kind of hyped up thing. So the more we can get in, the more exciting we feel like it will be. So.
Do you want this phone number here?
Yeah, that'd be good. Thanks. Mm-hmm. So I'll be talking to that woman. Can you reach up there and press the stop button? Do you see it? That, yeah, you're right
here?
There. Yeah.